Venture through a wasteland twisted by dark magic, undead monsters, and contagious insanity where life and death are no longer opposites, but a spectrum of cruelties. Emerging from the dregs, an old king makes one final attempt to save his realm. Today's episode is brought to you by the newest project of Lee Ellis, author of the Killdash series, Godblood. Is a grim, dark short story with the audio runtime of 2 hours available on Audible and a digital print available for those that prefer reading. This exciting adventure is available now. But parents beware, it's not for the faint of heart. Stay tuned after the episode for an exclusive audio clip of Godblood. Welcome to the Nerdy Old Men Podcast. The greatest nerd, geek, and pop culture podcast in history. With your host, Redneck Wes.
He keeps screwing up, people. God.
And that old bald man, Chad.
Come on, man. This is a fun place. Don't be a...
Well, good morning, Wes.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
I see you survived Friday the 13th.
I did, yeah. And with one of the... offspring with the flu B. We felt like it might be best to do this one remotely, even though she's doing better. So, anyway, here we are. We were speaking just off the air there, but we'll jump back into it. Wes, I think, thanks to the Ahsoka TV series and hounding from all
from
of
you
us,
and Jay,
me
yeah,
and Jay and everybody else. Has started watching Clone Wars.
I have.
And you said you like it so far, except for it's kind of oriented towards kids, which everybody knows it can, starts that way.
You can tell that it's definitely a kid's show.
At the beginning, yes.
At the beginning, it's what I have been told. So I don't know, I'm about 20 or so episodes in to the first season. So
it's good stuff.
You know, I've enjoyed it. I know, shock.
What? You like something?
I know, right? No, they, you know, like I said, you can tell it's a kid's show right now, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
No, I was making fun of Anakin for punching an IG-88 in the face, but, yep. You know, hey, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, Anakin wasn't too sharp back then, you know what I mean? So...
Well, he did marry a senator, so...
Well, that's true. Well, no, again, not too sharp. But, what, man? I was thinking, you know, when we were trying to figure out, as we always do, things to talk about. And,
well, we had to kind of call an audible.
Yeah, we got an interview set up, and we're going to do that next week. I was just sitting there eating my breakfast and drinking my coffee, and I get a TikTok from Meat Shield Jay, my brother, and it is the live action like trailer for the old game Halo ODST, and I remember that, and he was like, "This has got to be the best live action trailer ever," and it was phenomenal. And it got me thinking about old games, old video games, which we haven't touched on since probably season one.
Yeah, that was early.
Yeah, and I thought maybe we'd kind of hit that again a little bit. You know, I think most everybody that listens to us has probably been a gamer at one time or another, or they still are. And we have been lucky to see, you know, the evolution of gaming in our long, long lives.
Yes. But, well, it's amazing how quickly it changed from something that you just kind of, you know, you like, you'd be sitting in the living room, or if you were lucky enough to have like a TV in your bedroom that you could hook up a Nintendo to or a Sega. Mm-hmm. And now people are making a living
just playing
video games.
Yep. Well,
it's great. I'm not talking about making video games. I'm talking about playing video games.
Yep.
Their whole livelihood is based around that. And that in and of itself is incredible.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, even back, I remember, you know, the console-topped quarter-fed arcade games at the Pizza Hut, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But
them and Mr. Gaddy.
Yeah, Mr. Gaddy's back in the day. Yeah, that's true.
We had a great Mr. Gaddy. They had a lot of video games.
They really did. They really did. I think everybody had at least one birthday party at Mr. Gaddy's.
But,
but you know, I was also thinking about this yesterday because took my son into a vintage video game store, and he's a big baseball fan now too, and he had been researching, and he found out like this, I forgot what it was called. It was Slammin' something 2006 or something. It was a baseball, MLB baseball game. And he said, it's one of the best ones. You can like charge the pitcher and get into a fight and all this other kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. And he found
back
it.
Back when baseball was baseball.
Right. He found it in the original Xbox. And like I said before, my son has been a vintage console collector, whether he's bought them at yard sales or at CM Games locally or people have given them to him. He's got just about all of the major ones over the years. And I was like, you got an Xbox? He goes, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. So,
you didn't even know he had an Xbox.
I couldn't remember because he's, you know, he keeps them on a shelf and he's got a bunch, like I said, he's accumulated over the years. And yeah, he hooked it up last night and was having a ball with it. So I just think that it's neat that you can go back and buy these old games and stuff. But anyway, regardless of that, not to get too down the rabbit hole, I think maybe thinking back, I remember that my dad had an Atari, or maybe it was it was like a family unit, you know, the old one with like the wood, those stickers that looked like wood. Yeah. I remember playing.
Back then, everything had to have wood paneling.
Oh, yeah. I remember playing Combat and I guess Pong and, oh gosh, what are some of those other Joust?
I remember.
Or no, no, that's an NES game.
My buddy, Michael Marshall, across from my mamaw, mm-hmm. and when we would go over, you know, I'd go across, and he had one, and I can remember he had games like, you know, Pitfall.
Oh, yeah, Pitfall, that was it. That was what I was thinking of, the early adventure game, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was fun. But I can remember him having games like MASH. Remember the TV show MASH?
Yeah.
And, like, you were a surgeon, and it was kind of wild because it looked like a person.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a little maze, and you had to take, like, what I guess was supposed to be like a little scalpel.
Right.
And go through this maze and get, like, the bullet. And
that's
then
crazy,
get it out of the maze. Yeah, I mean, it was a very technical game. I remember him having, I want to say it was a Star Wars game or something.
It
may have been on Nintendo. I can't remember exactly, but
well, back in the Atari days, man, they had like there was like they licensed everything. You know, it seemed like there was a game for everything. So that
wasn't the one for like E.T. or something.
I think that was Atari. God, everything runs together. Yeah, I believe it was, and I think that's the one where they buried a bunch of them in the desert, like Nevada somewhere, because they suck so bad.
Yeah.
But, man, I remember that. And what's so cool is, and I want to get one. Now they sell, like, these, they're like new units, right, that you can play old games
like
on.
It's like the retro units.
Yeah, that's it.
Like
yes.
Everything, it's
that's
like
right.
USB and.
Right, but I want to get the retro 77 one. And it only plays Atari games. But I know that you can go to, like, these used game stores or, like, McKay used books, and you can buy, like, a dozen Atari games for, like, $20 or less.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have those old ones just because they're mindless, you know. They're, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of work or time to goof off on these things.
Well,
you know, you can't save games.
A lot of them
you know,
were very
play.
Repetitive because it was just, I know, like, Frogger. That's one I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And all it was the same board, it just got faster.
Yeah.
You know, the cars went by faster and the alligators went by faster. It was the same thing, just over and over again.
Yeah. But
but you would play it for hours.
Yeah, but that original Atari was pretty fun. And I know Vinny Vineyard, our filmmaker buddy, is a big, what is it, 2600? I can't remember what it is that he's a huge fan
of. 2600, what was the... Was it 2400, 2600?
I know he's got a social media page dedicated to that and stuff like that. I mean, he's a, so there's still a big fan base for that kind of stuff, but really, I mean, that was our first introduction to that kind of thing. You know, I had a Commodore 64 that had some games on it. But the real big kicker was when the NES came out.
And that was
the thing, man. That was the thing. And, you know, I still think it's one of the best systems that there was. I mean, when you got to throw
away. Well, it was a workhorse, and it was reliable.
Yep.
And you just had to blow
the cartridge out.
Blew the cartridge, yeah.
Yeah. For what reason, I don't know. I don't know why that worked.
Get the dust off the connector.
I guess so.
But, I mean, the fact that literally you could drop those game cartridges.
Yep. Or throw them if you were mad. I never threw them because
it was like a Nokia phone. You know,
you could do anything with it. Yeah, you could do anything with it. It could be a weapon if necessary. But
well, what's funny is I still have my original NES that I bought from the Toys R Us that was over beside the
mall. Moment of silence for Toys R Us, please.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Carry on.
But it still works.
That's so awesome.
I paid $107 after taxes for that thing, and I was never more proud.
I know
of myself, you know, and I can remember. I think the Christmas before, because I got mine in 87 or 88. I got mine a little bit later than some of the others because I had to. I finally worked at the church to ask Dad for one, and he said, "Well, how much does it cost?" And I said, $100. He said, "Well, if you want one, you can save up your money and buy it." I did.
Yep.
But I want to say like the Christmas before he had got, because, you know, back then we had the one TV in the living room and Dad, if he wanted to watch baseball, that's what everybody was watching.
Right.
He was getting tired of us bothering him, wanting to watch something else. And so he got my sister and I a TV for our room for Christmas one year.
Nice.
And I can remember hooking that Nintendo up to that. And I would sit back there in my chair, you know, just right in front of the TV. Playing that for hours and hours, and he finally came in and was wanting to kind of see what the whole deal was, and we were playing Duck Hunt, and it was hilarious because Dad is laying down on my bed and he's like sniping ducks with that light gun. And that's one of those memories, you know, like one of those memories that you have where you did something with your dad. And I'll remember that forever. I can just remember him laying down on the bed and he just pow, pow, you know, hitting him ducks. It was the greatest thing, you know. And it's, you know, it's Duck Hunt's one of those repetitive games. You know, nothing really changes. It just ducks fly faster.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But my dad did like everyone else and tried to shoot that dog when he laughed at you if you missed. He said, "I'm going to get that
dog." Dumb dog.
Said, "You can't hit the dog."
that was a good one.
Well, you know, to be a simple game, and I think that was maybe why we got hooked on so quick. You know, games, you know, like Tetris, you're just stacking blocks.
Yep.
But I can remember playing that game just for hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the thing about back in when you're looking at like that original NES is that you have, you know, back then it came with everything you needed.
You had the entire game,
and it came with two games. You know, it came with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt,
mm-hmm.
And that was awesome that it came with. You know, two games back then. I mean,
now, when you now that's an unusual one, thing.
Yep, that's true. Now it's an unusual thing to have that. And, you know, when it came with two controllers instead of one, and came with the light gun.
Mine had two controllers in the gun, but mine was the gray gun. Mine wasn't the orange gun.
Yep.
When everybody got freaked out. Cause,
yep, I had a gray gun too.
You know?
Yeah, I had a gray gun too, and my son actually found a gray gun at McKay Used Bookstore for like $10 one day.
Really?
So he got it to go with his vintage NES that he got because it had an orange gun, but now he's got the gray one, which is cool.
Yeah.
But back then, man, I mean, it was the thing. I mean, graphics sucked, but they were light years above anything else we had seen. And you talk about some of the toughest games that have ever been created.
Oh God.
The ones on the NES were that.
I can remember playing the original Castlevania.
Yeah, God, that was rough.
And, I mean, it was brutal. You know, and you're working.
Yeah, it's hard.
I could always work it up to Dracula, but I never could beat him. And I was just like, how? And what's funny was a couple of years ago, I was on the Xbox One. And if the dog is barking, he's
not agreeing with me. Hey, that's all right.
It was hard.
He wants to be. He wants to be in. He understands.
He's wanting to be on the show. but on the Xbox One, I actually downloaded like the Castlevania collection, and it had like all the Castlevania games.
Right.
And still could make it to Dracula, couldn't be.
No. Well, I mean, when you look at Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh, ridiculous. My God.
You want to frustrate a kid now.
That game.
Tell him to play that.
I'm sure that game caused many a controller to get broken.
Right.
Because somebody was chucking one at a wall.
Exactly right.
And it was, you know, you go through with armor. First time you hit, you got no armor. You hit again, you're dead.
Right. Yep.
What the heck? I mean, there was no save point. There was no, if you wanted to go all the way through the game and beat the game, which I've watched like the speed runs, and I don't know how those guys do them.
Oh, I know.
But you screwed up back to the beginning.
Yep. No save points. And a lot of those games really didn't have any save points. You know, then you got into like a Metroid.
Well, they were designed to be quarter eaters.
Yeah,
well, and you know, they ate quarters.
Well, right, but then like Metroid, you got code, you got a save code that would take you back to where you were, and then later on they had the battery in them that would actually retain your save point.
I remember the Legend of Zelda, the original one.
Yep,
but you had to hit the reset button and power button to turn off, or you lost because it saved. I think it had an internal memory on the card that would save where you were at.
Yep.
And if you did not hit that reset button when you turned the power off,
it's gone. Yeah.
So I can remember just, you know, two fingers and you got one, make sure that reset button is pushed in and you'd hold it.
Yep.
And then real quick, hit that power button.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
That was one of those games, in a way, it was kind of open world because you could go different directions, but you had to go a certain way to get certain things, you know, if you didn't get the sword, you were kind of screwed. But, you know, it would allow you to build your character up.
Right.
And it was kind of like leveling up in D&D. But it, you know, hey, I need to go right to get stuff. Let's see what's left. You know, and you'd go in different lore areas and they'd have different enemies. And but that was one of those games that was, it was enjoyable and frustrating all at the same time.
Yep. That was the beauty of the NES.
Well, I don't know. There was time I can remember going to the Family Video and, you know, they had games that you could rent. And one that I rented several times and could do no good with was Battletoads.
Yeah, but apparently Battletoads is also one of the hardest games that was ever created.
Yeah, I know, but at the time I didn't realize that. It was just, why can't I get past this super flying scooter thing? Oh, gosh. It was so hard.
Yeah, it is hard, and yeah.
I don't know how people nowadays would deal with that level of frustration.
There's some like YouTube videos of like people subjecting their kids
to
Ghosts and Goblins and Castlevania and Battletoads, those type of games. I mean, heck, even Super Mario, the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, with gosh.
That, you know, you'd spend 12 hours trying to make that one jump.
You know? A little bit.
And how we were, I mean, how we didn't go nuts over that kind of stuff, I don't know. I mean, it's,
well, that's probably why we NES, issues, you know.
Well, that's true. Yeah, NES controllers were pretty sturdy. So,
but I mean, just you know, the music and everything played into it because it would speed up in places, and it just created this this sense of tension. That's probably why we've got like anxiety issues and trust issues. I'll make this jump. Wow, the fire, you know, the little fireball spinning laser thing would get you. And you're like, ah.
But one of my memories from the NES days was, and I've told the story before about selling all of my original Transformers. Oh, God, it was a horrible deal. Awful deal. Worst business decision I ever made. But anyway, I sold all those to a buddy of my dad's whose son wanted them for Christmas because he saw them in an old Sears Wish book. And for you kids that aren't old enough to know Sears Wish books, look it up. Look it up. It was a beautiful time, but we can talk
about
it.
That was the greatest time of the year.
I think we talked about, I think we talked about that on a Christmas toy gift episode once. But anyway.
Yeah, we did.
I sold all those to him, all of them, Optimus Prime and everything, in order to buy Super Mario Brothers 3, which was madly advertised by, you know, everywhere. And then the movie with Fred Savage, The Wizard, I think is what it was called. Was it called The Wizard?
Where he, I think that's right.
Yeah, where he went on he went to a video game competition, and it was Super Mario Brothers 3, I think. And it was, you know, it was just a big commercial for the game. But
what's funny was I was not a huge fan of Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
But I went to the Kmart. We had the Kmart in La Follette. And I went, it was $60.
Right.
It was like $58. And I aggravated the crap out of my dad to take me up there. And he just could not see the reasoning for wanting to spend $60 for a game.
Right, right.
He told me I was crazy. But I mean, I aggravated. I hounded him until he finally took me up there to get it. He did it just to shut me up, you know. And you get played it and you're like, God, this is hard.
It was good, though. It was good. I liked
there was fun.
Number
there
two was fun more, stuff, I think.
Thanks to Nintendo Power for actually showing you
how. God, Nintendo Power. See, that's a whole other thing right there, man. That's a whole other thing that, you know, there are video game magazines that have gone the way of the dodo, you know, because of the internet. But back then, Nintendo Power Magazine. Did you have a subscription to Nintendo Power Magazine?
I did not. I would get all mine like secondhand. Like, yeah. I'd bum them off Anson or.
I mean, I saved up and, you know, I mowed yards and stuff like that. I saved up and got the subscription. And the beauty of that back then, and this stuff never happens anymore. And I know I've mentioned it before, but those that haven't heard me tell the tale, I got like this, the new issue of Nintendo Power Magazine one day. It came in a box. And opened a box and it had in the box sealed Dragon Warrior, the game. I mean, they sent it to me for free. I mean, it came with a subscription. I was like, what in the crap? Nowadays it's even more of a what the thing, because that never happens. But it did, and it ended up being one of my favorite games of the entire NES.
Love that game.
Well, you know, we didn't have D&D games, really, then, you know.
Well, it's about as close as you can get.
And it was great. And it was great. And I bought it for my son for his NES, and he doesn't see it the same way.
You know, really?
I mean, he likes it. You know, he liked it okay, but I mean, it is a very rudimentary game.
Why are you fighting a slime?
Yeah, it's very rudimentary for those that have had an experience in other things, but I loved it. And the fact that I got it for free, I think it was even better.
In a way, it was an open world as well, because you had to go around. I mean, it was a huge map.
Yeah.
To explore where you needed to go, and then you'd have to remember, okay, I've got to go back to this other place to get that one thing now. Where was it at? You would spend hours running around trying to find the right spot.
Yeah, because now everything's like saved on your map, on your game and stuff. And back then we had to have a notebook and pencil.
Well, I can remember, you remember Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Absolutely. One of the greatest games ever, in my opinion.
When you made it so far, it would give you the little passcode.
Yes.
And in the little booklet, that came with the game that told you basically what all the controls were and
yep.
who the character. It had a place where you could write
yes.
the passcode.
And now you don't even get an instruction booklet with your games. So,
well, I mean, there's like built-in tutorials if you have the patience to go through. And I screw it, I'll figure it out as I go. You know.
Yep.
But that was crazy that there's a code. And like, I can remember first time playing it. Buddy Michael Marshall, he had it, and he had already gotten to Mike Tyson and stuff. He said, "Oh, you got to fight Mike Tyson." I'm like, "I don't know what the buttons are." Yeah, no matter. And he puts in the passcode. There's Mike Tyson, the last guy in the game. You're like, holy crap. You know, just the fact that you could do that, because we didn't have that ability up until games like that started coming out where you want to go to the end? Okay, here.
Right.
You know, because there was no level selects. So you just had to, you know, grind through it.
But it was good. It was just good. And yeah, man. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, what was your favorite NES game?
Oh God. I loved WrestleMania.
Yeah.
One, I was a big wrestling fan, but two had the Max controller.
Oh yeah. I hated that thing.
I was going to say, most people hated it because they tried to use the little red 360 cyclone in the middle.
Yeah, you don't use
it. If you used the black ring on the outside, just like a regular controller, it was great, but it had turbo.
Yep.
And it was, the controller was curved, kind of how controllers are now. It had that curve to it, and
which
I really
liked
that feel.
Which was a lot better feel than, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that feel. Most people, they tried to use that. I'm like, just put the pad of your thumb on it and just use the black part. I said, you'll be fine.
It'll be good to
go. But there were certain games like Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man.
I really like Mega Man 2. Where the turbo, it made you almost invincible.
Yeah.
Because you could shoot faster. I liked that a lot of people didn't. Did you ever play Fester's Quest?
No. I don't recall ever playing Fester's Quest.
It was great because, you know, it's based off the Addams Family, so it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But his gun, you had to, it would shoot one shot.
Right.
And it even says in the manual, it's like, this game is better if you have the Max controller.
So it was selling the Max
controller. Because the turbo. So you could fire quicker. And basically, when you got, like, the last gun, it was, I don't know, it shot out, like, these triangle-looking darts. Mm-hmm. And they'd go about like 10 wide, and it was just a constant stream. So you just held the button and walk around just mowing enemies down. But when you got in the buildings were like mazes. Right. And you had to figure your way through to get to the boss. And that was where Nintendo Power really shined, because they had maps of all the buildings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was a lot of trial and error to get through to get to the... But it was, I think... By the time you finished the game, you only had 4 bars of health.
Yeah.
So you could only get hit, like, I want to say it went down by maybe a half, but it was like, you know, very limited that you get hit because you had limited health. But if you got the final gun, you were nigh on unstoppable. You know, it was great. So, but that was one of those odd games that you're like, what? But it was, I really enjoyed it for some reason.
I think my two favorite ones solo would be Metroid. The original Metroid. Loved that game.
I didn't care for Metroid.
Oh, I liked it a lot. My cousin actually got me into it, and I really loved it. But then the second one was Tecmo Super Bowl, obviously.
Oh,
Tecmo Super Bowl. I don't recall. Did you ever play in our Tecmo Super Bowl tournaments that we had?
I
think that might have been before we all kind of got together.
Tecmo Bowl was the original one. Tecmo Super Bowl was for the Super NES.
No. Tecmo Super Bowl was for the NES. There was a Super Tecmo Super Bowl, which was for the SNES. But there was one for the original NES. Yes, because you could set up a season in the NFL, right? And we'd go over to Toy Man Terrence's house, and everybody'd pick a team, and we would play the entire season. So either you were playing other people or you were just playing the computer. So everybody'd just be kind of hanging out if it was your turn to play the computer, you know, or you had to play each other or whatever. It was fun, man. It was a good time way back in the day. And I vaguely remember somebody making a play-by-play recording of one of them once, and I can't remember.
Now,
I vaguely remember that now.
I believe that one actually took place at Bo's house. I remember y'all were showing me.
Maybe that was
but I think that was on the Super NES. Was the play-by-play.
It may have been, because that was really funny, because we did stupid crap like that all the time.
Well, we did a lot of stupid crap.
Yeah, obviously.
But I can remember, you know, you had if you had the Raiders, you had Bo Jackson, and he would just basically run away from everybody. And if you had the 49ers, you could hit Roger Craig across the middle, and it would glitch. And he'd get like the super speed going,
right?
And it was just like yawn. But I remember I saw it on YouTube. I didn't actually see it on TV, but apparently Family Guy, they were making fun of Tecmo Bowl, and like Peter like playing as Bo Jackson, and like when he would do like the 100-yard touchdown run, but
Bo knows. Yeah. You know, actually my son had seen that and showed that to me on YouTube, and I'm like, yeah, dude, that's legit. You know,
he runs to like the 1-yard line and like runs all the way back and runs back again to score. And then everybody diving, trying to tackle him. He's like, oh, he's running around in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to do that to each other.
Well, it was funny. My son got
that
into
legit thing.
Yeah, my son is really liking baseball right now, and lacrosse obviously, but he watches a lot of baseball stuff. And he was like, did you ever see this Bo Jackson guy go up the wall and catch the baseball? I'm like, yeah. Did you know he played football? I was like, look at this. And did you know he was in this game? Because really, you should see this. Bo knows Tecmo Bowl, baby.
Bono's Tecmo Bowl. Gosh, there were so many games that were just so much fun, but you know there would be things like the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yep.
Hard as crap to beat that game.
True.
I never did get to like the Technodrome. I just couldn't do it. It was just.
Oh, there was just some that were like, so hard. Yeah, stupid.
Some of the jumps
crazy.
You had to make, and if the turtle died, you know, there was like one or two places where you could get them back. But what was neat about that game was being able to switch between the turtles.
Yep.
And certain ones were better against certain enemies. It was, I mean, there was a game for everything. What was it? Ivan Stewart's Iron Man, the motocross.
Oh, I never played that. If you're talking motocross, all I ever played was Excitebike.
So another great game. Yes. Harder than crap. Yes.
So good. So good.
You always had to hit the biggest jump. You're not going to land it, but you're going to hit that biggest jump.
Oh, heck yeah.
RC Pro Car Racing?
Yeah. Where you actually Yes.
That was another fun one. They took stuff that I don't know. It was kind of odd to make a video game like the Olympics. They made a video game for the Olympics.
Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics. You know, and those earlier NES games were more general, and then they got more specific later on. Yeah, so, and also, like, I actually saw it yesterday, and I had it, and, you know, we live in Tennessee. We don't know anything about hockey until the Predators came to Nashville, but Blades of Steel. Did you ever play Blades of Steel? I had Blades of Steel. I think I bought it, like, secondhand or something like that.
It seems like I played it, but it was one of those ones you'd be doing, I don't know what I'm doing, trying to.
Or maybe I rented it, because I remember you could rent NES games back at the old
I think that's what I did. I might have rented it, but I just remember every time you tried to do something, you'd end up getting in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And he would actually let you.
Double dribbled also.
Oh,
where you, as long as you dribble the ball on one of the shadows of the lights overhead, you could hit the shots.
Yeah, you could hit the shots. But it was
so cool.
It was crazy because you'd go in and you'd shoot it, and everything was like a dunk, you know. And it had like crazy animation where they'd go in and like slow mo dunk it.
So good. So
but
fun.
It was what was it? There was only like four teams you could play. Like
oh
the
yeah.
Lakers and the
Well, I don't think they were even. I don't think it was even licensed.
It may not have been, but
you know, I don't really remember. But I know Super or Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl; those were licensed. But another unlicensed game that was pretty good too was pro wrestling.
Starman.
Yeah, Starman. That was a good game, too, man.
Star on it.
Yeah, it was a good game, too. When you do the Iron Claw and you just kind of jerked them back and forth. That was nuts, dude. That was such a fun game.
I'll tell you a game that I had because Uncle Clarence got it for me.
Yep.
Good old Homer. And yes. It was NFL. And it was officially licensed NFL game.
Okay, all right.
And you played it like a real football game. Okay. Where you had if you wanted to pause the game, you had to use the timeout. You only had three.
Oh, wow!
And it had like this fold out play sheet, and one side was offense, one side was defense, and it would show like,
oh wow,
who was blitzing from where.
Yeah, that's complicated as all get out, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, trying to throw a pass on that because it would do like a little zoom in screen. And there'd be like two guys, and you didn't know where the ball was going. And just every once in a while, you see two big old long arms go up, and he might catch it or he might miss it. You don't know.
More like reality, yeah.
Yeah, but it was so hard because, like, you had to hit the hole. Like, if you were running the ball, you had to hit the hole just right to get through. You're always getting hit in the backfield.
Nice.
And, like I said, if you want, you know, your mom hollers for you to come do something real quick, you know, you had to burn a timeout. Now it was like an unlimited timeout, you know. So like, you could only stop the game three times.
It's like, Mom, I only got one timeout left.
Let me give her a 2-minute warning.
It's only the third quarter.
But it was one of those games they were trying to do, like, you know, a partnership, you know, officially licensed with the NFL, but it was, you know, it was horrible.
Yes.
But I would have been playing. I never would get played my first pass. I thought I'd really done something, then, you know, but it was, oh gosh, it was nuts.
That's fun.
But I mean, they took on everything in those old games. I mean, they would try to make a game for, you know, Mumbly Peg if they could. I just dazed myself right there because most people are like, what the
heck?
But, funny. I mean, they really tried to make a game for, like, everything that they could.
Yep.
And now everything's kind of like the same, you know, first-person shooter, third-person shooter.
And there's something to be said about those, but... I originally when we started talking about this episode, I thought we were going to be able to get into some other systems, but it sounded like today is just going to be the nostalgia of the NES, which I think is pretty good enough. You know what I mean?
Well, for me, this is my thing. Like I had gotten a Radio Shack Tandy Color Computer 2, and that it had some game like plugged into the side. And then had gotten the original Nintendo in like 87, somewhere right in there. And then the next console I had was a PlayStation 2.
Big gap.
That was the gap that I had. So a lot of my, you know, fondness for gaming is centered around the original NES.
Well, that was probably my heyday. So, I mean, I had a, original Xbox, which I only purchased for NCAA football, but I ended up playing Halo and really liked it. But that's about all I ever bought on that. And then I had a 360 where I got, you know, just a few games, you know, mainly COD, you know, Call of Duty, and NCAA football, which is all I ever played on that too. So, and that's where I stopped at, you know.
And I think NCAA football is like a comeback, isn't it?
It's somewhere out there in the you know, the realm of possibility and excitement for all of us. So we'll hopefully that'll happen. So, but you know, that's pretty good, man. I love thinking about the nostalgia of all that stuff, man. Just you know, just the game cartridge versus discs, and now it's all, you know, digital download.
Well, now it's all digital download. Yeah.
So things are a little bit different, man. But I remember those old days, and you know, folks. You know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just asking for my sister. She teaches fourth grade.
Yep.
And kids were talking about, I don't know, Fortnite or something, and some of the stuff that you can download and add on. My sister was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, I want to get this or whatever. She goes, I remember you said when you bought the game, you got the whole game. And the kids literally looked at her and went, what do you mean you got the whole game?
Like, yeah, there were no microtransactions back in the day, buddy.
They couldn't register that concept of, okay, I give you X amount of dollars and you give me all the content.
The whole thing, yep.
You know, everything. They're like, what do you mean? You know, there was no extra levels. There were no skins or guns, or, you know, you couldn't buy your way to.
No, you can't play. You can't pay to win, buddy. Can't pay to win. But and,
yeah, we earned our stripes.
Dadgum right. Walked uphill both ways in the snow to play the NES. By God,
barefoot.
That's right. With a little plastic controller that was indestructible. Hey, you old folks out there, not the young ones who don't understand the nostalgia of the NES. Hopefully we educated you today. Hopefully we educated you. And those of you that did get to experience the NES days, let us know what your favorite one was. And we'll jump back into this again sometime with some of the newer systems and our little bit of experience we've had with those. So. All right, man. Let's all stay healthy. Maybe we can get back together next week. So
sounds good, buddy.
Until next time, this is the old bald man Chad with the king of the NES, Redneck West.
Stupid thing, yeehaw!
's God Blood.
Came up for Rogot's belly. He parried, elbowed Garagot in the teeth, then slammed him into a tree. Through the tree, and out the other side, and into the dirt. Splinters fell all around, and the severed tree came falling, crushing a giant mushroom to the earth. Garagot kicked Rogot, and he went soaring, flipped backwards and crashed down 20 paces away. The Mushroom King was up and after him. Rogot grabbed his axe, pulling up a handful of leaves with it, and leapt to his feet. Their weapons collided, and they were at it again, snarling, hacking, shoving, and punching, god blood thumping in their veins. Garagot thrusted the flat side of his blade hard against Rogot's axe, pressed him back, then shoved a crust-covered finger deep into Rogot's ear.